You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Buzz, look, an alien!
Where?
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Buzz Lightyear.
And my name is not Buzz Lightyear. I am Gary Stark. Welcome to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 for this Sunday, July the 11th.
Go on. Stretch those brains.
Yeah, no. I was going to say November because today's the 11th and November is the 11th month.
Go you.
Are you confused?
In complete honesty, my name's not Buzz Lightyear, it's Lee. Welcome to the Gadget Girl, because tonight, the reason I said all that is we've got a very Toy Story sort of themed sort of show. That's why we played a little Toy Story clip before there, don't we, Dad?
Yes, we do. We've got some Toy Story music I can see on the list here.
Only the third one is. The first one just seems like it would be.
That's right. Okay, yeah. Okay. And we've got an interview with Mark McKindle talking about a survey that Toy Story did Disney
came out around Toy Story.
Came out around the same time as Toy Story 3, which reveals some very interesting stuff with respect to Australians' gaming habits.
Ooh, it's good, because I'm an Australian who games. I need to know about it. I actually have not heard this yet, so I'll have to listen to it for a change.
You should listen to it. You might learn something.
Me?
I certainly did.
Learn something?
I know. And we've got...
some gadgets?
We've got gadgets. We've got reviews. We've got a studio full of gadgets. We've got some exciting news for our listeners as well.
It's nuts how many gadgets are on this desk right now. I mean, this gadget's normally here, the one I... just made that sound. That's normally there. That deck is supposed to be there.
That's
this
the control
CD
panel, yes.
Player. That's supposed to be there.
But we've got a studio full of earbuds and cameras.
But we're trying some on right now, aren't we?
We're actually using earbuds instead of the normal headphones because we've been given some to road test by... AJs.
And TJs. Are they just called J's?
I think
just called J's.
They're called J's.
It just says J's.
And we've got
Swedish.
They're Swedish. And over the next few weeks, you're going to have a chance to win some of these earphones.
But not the ones we're wearing.
No, we've got some brand new ones ready for you to win.
And in a box.
In boxes, brand new, ready for you. So stay listening over the next few weeks and we'll tell you how you can win these. I'm really very impressed with them.
I've only worn them for... how long have you been on the air for?
2 minutes.
Right, I've only worn them for 2 minutes now. They fit really nicely. They're really good sounding.
They're amongst the most comfortable earbuds that I've ever worn.
I've worn a lot of earbuds and I've worn some uncomfortable... I wore some when I was in Hong Kong the other week.
Yes.
That made me feel like my head was going to explode. They were bad. These... I'm not, which is surprising, because normally you don't get that with... If in-ear ear canal phones are very hard to get your head around.
I normally have a problem with them, but these ones are very, very different, so that is good. I'm impressed with them. We've also got digital radios that we can give away over the next few weeks.
Wait. Digital radio. We're on the radio, and we have a digital sort of show, so surely we are digital radio.
Yes, but digital radio is coming in all around Australia.
Is it?
Over the next few years.
Does that mean we have to actually learn something here at the station?
We've got to do some changes here at the station at some point.
Ch-ch-ch-changes?
Ch-ch-ch-changes, yes. In those terms, we've actually got for a couple of our listeners, they're going to have a chance to win some Ox digital radios.
So not only do we have headphones that people can listen to, we're also going to have radios that people can listen to us. Theoretically, we hope that given that they, you know, win the radio on 2RDJ, they'd listen to 2RDJ on it, theoretically.
Correct.
Yeah. But that's not a requirement.
No.
No. Unless you want it to be.
Unless you...
In which case.
Yes.
No, it's not, seriously. But we've got that. We've got the Toy Story thing, and we've got a camera, I think, we're reviewing on the show
today.
We
have a camera that we're reviewing.
That's nice.
It's a very nice camera, one of the new Sony NEX
cameras. The NEX3. It's looks more like the shape of a cell phone, except it's got a giant lens attached to it, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's also very small.
It's really comfy.
For the type of camera that it is actually very, very small. And it's going to change the way we look at certain camera classes in the future.
I like things that change.
Yes.
Ch-ch-ch-changes, more of them.
Indeed. So that's where we are on the Gadget Grill tonight on July the 11th.
Hey, you got it right this time.
I did indeed, yes.
Well, I guess it's time we get started into the actual show. I'm digging up my news right now. I'm also digging up some toys, like the ones on this desk right here.
Yes.
But I like throwing them around.
You do?
I do like throwing them around. This
no
is,
doubt you do.
I indeed. Sometimes. Oh,
was
wow.
That good?
No, that was bad. This is no doubt an Elvis Costello with throwing my toys around. Strangely from the Rugrats soundtrack. I've got no time for fairy stories. I'm not a little girl. So you can leave me all alone. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. If you're perhaps listening to us on a toy walkie-talkie or some other device designed to pick up on radio signals, try switching to something like a radio, and in a few weeks you might have the chance to win one as well. So you can wait then and continue listening to us on a walkie-talkie. Otherwise, you can hit us up on a toy laptop, especially ones that say Made in China on the bottom, that gold sticker.
Yep,
you can
ones.
Head to www.radio2rdj.com. Or you can hit us up at our website, www.gadgetgrill.com.au, where you can find this and other bits where we speak, and even some bits that the guy on the other side of the table has written.
Yeah.
Do you write stuff now?
I do write a bit, yeah.
Yeah, you can find that. And even tonight, if you actually head there right now, it'll be updating itself because it's got artificial intelligence, and one day it will destroy us all.
There you go. Be afraid. Be
afraid
very
afraid of the Gadget Grill website. It will destroy us all.
Yes.
news, sir.
Yeah. Russell Kirsch. You know that name, don't you?
No.
Okay. But
should 50, I have?
Yes, you should, because 50 years ago, he scanned a photo of his baby son.
Did he do it legally?
50 years ago.
Wait, how did he scan something 50 years ago?
Guess who invented the digital image?
Ah.
He invented the pixel.
He invented the Pixel. Do we call him... Is his name Pixel?
No, his name is Russell Kirsch.
Oh. Well, that proves how well I listen to you.
That's right, yep. But discovering the Pixel and creating it, at least, he has apologised recently because he made it square, which he's announced wasn't the best decision that he could have made.
Really? Why not? Yes. What's wrong with a square pixel?
That means we get pixelated images.
We get pixelated... We would have had pixelated images anyway.
But round pixels would have been nicer than square pixels.
Oh, yeah, maybe,
hexagonal pixels.
But if you think about it, if you had a round pixel, you would have either had them joined together and you'd have bits in the middle missing, or you would have overlapped them.
What if they were hexagonal?
Oh, yeah, I guess maybe, but you're going to have that with anything, Dad.
Yeah.
You're going to have some, I mean, geometric design, you're going to have that with anything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're an insomniac, but I know I have problems with that. I get that when listening to you.
Yes.
Philips specifically in Australia, they have come up with this really cool invention called, I think it's the Sleep Away or the... God, I'm so good with journal, I can't even remember what it's called. It's only available in Australia. What it is a almost like a headset that you plug into what it looks like an MP3 player, and it stimulates your vestibular gland and keeps you basically makes your brain think you're lulled into a sleep, as if you're swaying. So it's like a back and forth swaying motion that doesn't actually occur. It's only available for Australians. That's the weird thing. It's like $500 or something.
Well, we're weird.
I'm looking to get one in so I can fall asleep even easier during our show.
Okay. Well, you can use it at work, and then you can say that you're testing it.
Absolutely. It's okay. I'm just testing. I'm going asleep now.
A guy called Rich Gass, who's a lawyer in Chicago, has developed a new fitness regime, a training regime, which is called Zombie Fit.
Does it involve eating brains and walking around?
No, it's a fitness program that it says will help you sustain a zombie attack. Clearly, it doesn't come with an IQ test.
A zombie attack?
Yes.
That sounds mighty interesting. Did you know the next iPod Touch is going to have a camera in it?
No, but if you hum a few bars, I could fake it.
If I really hum a few bars, will you fake it?
Oh.
Not legal in this country.
No.
Not legal in most countries, thankfully.
Not in front of my son.
Ew. Ew, we're related. Ew. Anyway, new iPod Touch is expected to have the same 5-megapixel camera currently in the iPhone 4. Guess what? It won't. More than likely, estimates are putting it with a 3.2, so they're going to recycle them out of the iPhone 3GSs and 3Gs, iPhone 3GSs rather, and stick them into the new iPod Touch when it comes out in a few months' time.
And there'll be one at your local neighbourhood bar to be tested in the not-too-distant future.
I'm confused. What was that a reference to?
the prototypes?
Oh, indeed, yes. Yes. Yes.
And on that the subject crap, on the subject of your local bar, remember Maxwell Smart's Cone of Silence?
No, because I wasn't alive then.
Okay. The old Get Smart series, they used to have this cone of silence that would come down over the chief's desk and nobody within the cone could hear anything.
Okay. Sounds like a cone of silence. Yeah.
In Japan, in the Burger King restaurant, and I'm using the word restaurant cautiously.
Yeah, I heard about this.
They've introduced iPod docks, iPhone docks.
To get sound showers, right?
Yeah, sound showers, right. And
I just ruined your story for you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, and they've got these cones above each of the booths to restrict the sound just to within the confines of each booth so that you don't disturb your next-door neighbour and their next-door neighbour doesn't disturb you.
That's kind of... not that I care about my next-door neighbour disturbing me in the slightest, but...
Well, you're already so disturbed, who cares?
Pretty much. You know the Sony camera we're reviewing lately?
Yes.
Well, you know how Sony have got them, Olympus, Samsung, Panasonic, Ricoh.
The Milks, yes.
Yeah, the Milks, the mirrorless interchangeable lens cameras.
Yes.
Well, news this week is that Nikon is expecting to jump
in
the game.
I saw that.
Mid to late this year.
I'd expect it at Photokina.
I'm expecting September, October as well. Yes, that's when Photokina is.
I know.
That's not
too far away.
There's a hope that they will take the same sort of lenses as current Nikons. Interestingly, you can get an adapter for the camera we're looking at later on that it takes Nikon and Canon lenses as well.
And likewise for the Olympus pens as
Indeed.
Well. Yes. You remember last week we were speaking about a flying car?
No, I remember last week we were flying while speaking about it.
Okay.
But that's in my head, mostly.
Yeah. There's more news in this realm as well. A company called Logi Aerospace have revealed that they're developing a rotary-winged aircraft called the Tyrannos.
The Tyrannos.
Designed to seat four, and it will fly at an altitude of up to about 1,000 feet. Because it flies so low, it's expected that you don't need to have a lot of training to fly it.
You kind of hope not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a little bit worried because that could lead to a lot of Tyrannosaurus
rex.
Sorry.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I expect better from you. Can I get one more story in there, or are we done?
Yeah, I think you can get another one or two in.
Okay. Have you heard about the diamond-encrusted iPhone 4?
Yes.
Yes.
Is this the $20,000 one or the $50,000 one?
Well, it's 20,000 pounds. It roughly translates to about $50,000. It's got 6.5 carats of diamonds all along the band. And I was wondering about that because all along the band, do you get the same reception problems on the iPhone?
Depends on how you hold it. If you squeeze it, you'll end up cutting yourself, of course, because diamonds are so hard and sharp.
Indeed. What's interesting about this story was that it actually, when I researched, it led me to find something else on this company's website. They're an English company called Stuart Hughes. They create the creme de la creme of devices for people, right?
Right.
And they have a MacBook Air. Now, MacBook Air is a light laptop. It's supposed to weigh about 1.3 kilos.
Yes.
They have a platinum MacBook Air on their website. It weighs 7 kilos.
Oops.
And it costs about $500,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Story in the Boston Globe this week. You may remember last year, about a year ago, Joel Tenenbaum was ordered to pay $675,000 in damages.
And he was also part of a massive test I think kids at the time, well, not kids, but students at a university to try and free him of that. It didn't quite go as well as they planned.
Yeah. A judge in Boston this week has reduced that sentence by 90%.
Wow, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, so $675,000 is reduced to $67,500, which is still quite a substantial fine.
It's still pretty massive.
Yeah, the judge has said, you know, that the laws are not designed to be, you know, sort of a massive windfall for the copyright holders.
Yep.
You know, $67,000 still presents a massive penalty and represents a reasonable sort of compensation to the copyright holder, the RIAA, Recording Industry of America. They said that the judge's decision dismissed the profound economic and artistic harm to the recording industry from illegal music sharing. Profound harm? Give me a break. What a joke.
Not to sound, because we're on the radio and we pay rights to these people who we play music of, like the one we've got coming up next. But
yep.
Profound harm, really? I would have thought the profound harm would be the music industry raking in loads of money over the artist. That would have been the profound harm to me.
That's exactly how I feel. Jeez. The music industry makes a packet. The artist gets very little in the... You know, I think that the recording industry needs to be ashamed of itself with its attitude.
Dad, one last story. Do you like the Intel Celeron?
It's dead.
Intel are killing it. In 2011, it will be gone. The dual-core Atom, the same sort of chip found in netbooks, will be replacing it.
And that doesn't surprise me, and I think it's a good thing.
It makes a lot of sense. I think that's it for the news.
Yeah.
I don't know how to segue this one.
You don't know how to segue?
No.
Oh, you could always, you know, sort of put it into different apartments.
No, that didn't work. Try again. Try another one.
No, I can't.
It's pretty hard to segue this one, isn't
yes.
it? Especially from where we are. This is Kate Miller-Heidke, our Australian artist for the night with Apartment.
Living in an apartment, never have before. And it feels a bit strange living up here on the seventh floor.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, and as I pull off the sticker from my bum that says Made in China, thanks for that one, Dad, that was nice, telling me I'm made in China.
Yeah.
I thought I was made in Australia.
Yes.
Because that would mean I'm falling apart pretty easily.
Yes.
We're going to get in our feature, which is somewhere here, underneath all the...
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah. It's an interview with...
There it is.
...with Mark McCrindle.
Who's he?
He's a psychologist. I think he's a psychologist, but I can't remember. I did the interview so long ago. But yeah, as a prelude to the release of the Toy Story 3 movie and the game.
You did it before the movie came out.
I know.
We just had to put it on the back burner because all the app we've had.
That's right.
Yeah.
They conducted a survey of Australian families' gaming habits and opinions. And the results of the survey came out with some quite interesting results and surprises. So you want to have a listen to the interview?
Yes.
In that case, let me press this button and we'll have a listen to Mark McCrindle.
I have got Mark McCrindle on the phone here. Mark is a futurist and demographer from McCrindle Research. Good morning, Mark, and welcome to the grill. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. Great to be with you.
And it's great to have you here. Now, the recent release of the Toy Story 3 video game was accompanied by a report into the gaming habits of Australian families, was it not?
That's correct, yeah. We surveyed nationally more than 1,000 parents who have children aged 5 to 12 years just to find out their parenting styles, the technology use, the media consumption of the children, and indeed a particular focus on video games.
Excellent. I noticed from the report that you found that 97% of Australian households own one or more video game consoles. That's a very high rate of ownership, isn't it?
That's right. Now, that is just the families that have those dependent children aged 5 to 12. So that's right. The fact is that if we're talking about a household with children, the chances are they have a video game console of some form. Now, it includes the larger systems, the Xboxes, the Nintendos, the Wii systems, but it also includes Nintendo DS and portable consoles. It includes any platform on which video games are being played, including the PC, as long as they have video games on that PC. So it's getting close to where TV and radio is, and that is 100% penetration rate.
That is absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Mm. And it just does show that while Australians have always been early adopters of new technology, when it comes to households with children, they're even more so, and they have seen that actually video games are not just for the older teenagers or a fringe element of those that are really extreme in their entertainment, but actually mainstream in the families of Australia, and are increasingly being used not just by the children, but indeed by the parents as well.
Well, that's really quite interesting. And one of the things that I've seen is with, for instance, the Wii console, and their advertising illustrates this, that it's a gaming platform whereby it's not just a single-player gaming platform, where it's a multiplayer gaming platform where people interact with one another. And it almost seems to me that the Wii is giving us some sort of a change in the way gaming is portrayed and played within families, in that it is now becoming multiplayer and much more interactive between the players, and in a very real sense too. People sit down on the couch and play Wii games, whereas yeah. Is it replacing board games?
It is, and it does put an end to that myth that video game playing is an isolating sport. You know, that it's something that people play by themselves in social isolation from others. Because we found, and this is a Toy Story 3 video game report, showed that 4 in 5 of the video game interactions in households with the children 5 to 12 years are actually played with other people. So only 1 in 5 of the game playing opportunities is a child by themselves or a parent by themselves. The majority of them are actually children playing each other in the household, or children and parents playing together. So it has become a social interaction platform rather than an isolation device. And therefore, as you say, it is the new form of the board game, or of even, in some cases, watching TV together. Now they're playing video games together. We found that parents are playing video games with their young children an hour a week on average, with almost a third of them playing for more than 2 hours per week together with the children. So it's a social sport.
Excellent. Now, you just mentioned the word sport, and of course one of the attractions of the Wii is that there are sporting games where you actually have interactivity with the machine that can attain some sort of physical level, and there's been recent moves in various places to have the Wii as a almost accepted as a health device, when in fact it's actually the games on the Wii rather than the Wii themselves. The Wii is just a facilitator of this. Is that something that you found in this, or didn't it?
We're certainly seeing this. With the Department of Education, the Wii has been allowed to be used in schools as a replacement for PE in primary schools in certain situations, because schools have recognised, as indeed parents have recognised, that it does have a developmental benefit in terms of coordination, hand-eye coordination, some level of mobility skills. Certainly it's got the creativity element. It does help in decision making if we've got the right sort of games, and it does help, it does add an educational and development benefit to children, again, where the right game is played. So parents have recognised that, and that's why we found that almost 8 in 10 parents say they're actually fine with the children playing the video games, and they do see developmental benefit when they've got the right games on board.
Now, that's really quite a change from how things used to be perceived, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big turnaround. You know, if we go back a decade, parents, you know, there was this generational divide, and parents were saying, oh, these kids, they play their video games, you know, it's not good sitting in front of a screen all the time. Well, the newer devices and the newer games have been a game changer. We found in this research that parents are particularly looking for games that have that educational, creative or development benefit. The children, of course, are looking for games that are high on the fun, excitement and entertainment.
Of course.
But if the parents are having an input into that, and of course, you know, most games are going to offer the fun, but if they also can get that development benefit, then it's certainly working for the families and the children, and parents are on board. Only 5% had a concern around video games. The vast majority actually saw the benefit when played in moderation.
Right, right. What about traditional toys? Games? Is gaming replacing interactivity with traditional games?
Well,
traditional toys?
To an extent, you can see that. And the what's interesting, particularly with the Toy Story 3 video game, is that it's actually got an interactive toy box. So they've got traditional toys, but you can play them in a virtual environment. I think that's an example of how...
That's a very interesting concept.
Yeah, that's right. So toys have, in a sense, become virtual. Sports you can play, you know, on the Wii or other video game consoles. So, you know, certainly there have been some changes there. But I was encouraged to see that actually parents are pretty smart with their parenting, and playing video games with the children or allowing them to do so is used in moderation. It is just part of the diet of upbringing. We found, for example, that the parents spend 4 times as long on outdoor activities and sports with their children per week compared to the video games. The video game an hour a week, but there's 4 hours of outdoor play per week, parents and children together. They're spending about an hour a week playing board games and about another hour and a half playing traditional toys with their children. So certainly there is a diversity of activities that parents and children are interacting on each week, which is healthy. The biggest single activity that parents and children do together is watch TV 3.25 hours per week. And if video games are taking away some of the TV time, that's actually a good thing, because of course the TV is a passive activity, whereas video gaming does have those benefits when the right game is chosen.
Absolutely. So Mark, it's all good then. Now, you just mentioned about finding games that are appropriate for your kids. Do you have any tips on how a parent might be able to do that?
I think it is looking for the long-term benefits that are going to come from the games. Now, firstly, it's about finding a game that does offer the chance to play together and to interact together so that it has that social development benefit. It's looking for games that can add to the creativity of the experience rather than just the shoot 'em ups. It's about games that develop hand and eye coordination as well, again, rather than just those entering virtual worlds, you know, with no great creativity or movement development. And of course, a game that has the ability to offer enjoyment for both the parents and the children, such that they'll, and when you can get those ingredients right, I think you've found a good platform that'll offer the benefit, that'll offer the social interaction, that'll build the parents and kids closer together, and the kids will love as well.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you for your time and for joining us here on the Gadget Grill.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark McCrindle. Yes, indeed. That was a survey on gaming habits.
You know, I used to play games alone, and look how I turned out.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank goodness there's only two sons of mine.
Only two?
Yeah, only that I'm aware of.
You sure you didn't have any strange things come along?
There's certainly a lot of strange things came along. Is that right?
That is.
Okay.
But it's completely cool, because the next song is one of the songs from Toy Story, the original movie, the soundtrack. This is, thank you for that interview, by the way. This is Randy Newman of Strange Things.
Oh.
Hey. Oh, okay. Note to self, edit that in. 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark, showing a complete professionalism there with that clip bing. That's supposed to head up. We got a review right now.
Being distracted just a little bit, yes.
One, you hit the music first, then you turn the mics on.
I know.
You know, the on-air lights.
It's been a long day.
Has it?
No.
Oh.
Yes.
It's been the same length as every other day, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I didn't sleep last night. Didn't sleep well last night. But I do have a camera that you've got in your hand that we're...
I do. I'm going to hand it to you, and you can speak about it.
Okay. The camera that I have in my hand is a Sony NX3.
Wow, that means a whole...
Yeah.
Ooh, it made a noise.
It makes a noise and it takes photos.
You'd hope so, being a camera. I mean, phones these days aren't required to be phones, but cameras should surely be cameras.
No, but what this is what we call a milk camera, mirrorless interchangeable lens camera.
That's what we're definitely calling them now, people, the mirrorless interchangeable lens cameras, which is a better name than mirrorless interchangeable lens photography, which we won't get into what that acronym actually means.
What this is from Sony. That's been out for a couple of weeks now, and it is a competitor to the Olympus Pen, and there's a Samsung.
There's a lot.
There's a few there now. And what they've done is they've taken the sensor out of a proper DSLR, which is a fairly big sensor, and put it into a camera that the body of which is the same size as your portable, really pocketable cameras.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, something like the Nikon Coolpix range and that sort of stuff. And in so doing, they've created a camera that is very, very usable. With the large sensor, you can get some very good photographic effects with depth of field and out-of-focus backgrounds and so on.
Now, let's just get this. So far, you're speaking pretty positively on this thing.
Yeah, and...
That's not normal view of a Sony camera, let's be honest.
No, it's not, and this is a very, very impressive camera. It feels very solid, it's well-built, the lenses are good, the whole package is a very, very nice camera. A couple of things that I didn't like about it, get the negative bits over. It, for me, feels a little bit uncomfortable using it in a portrait mode.
You don't like the fact that there's not you're holding it like a phone, I guess.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, it just doesn't quite feel balanced or something.
I put it in my hand, and I mean, I hold a camera still like a professional. I can see what you mean. It feels, because you're touching your other hand.
It feels so comfortable in landscape mode. And when you're
almost like I'm praying.
Yeah. And when you go into portrait mode, it doesn't quite feel right. I don't know what it is, but that doesn't mean the camera's any less usable or anything.
I like how the lens doesn't lock up like on the other camera companies.
No. The lenses are very nice. The other thing that I don't like is the proprietary flash hot shoe.
That's something that Sony cameras have had for a while, the Alpha series proprietary hot shoe.
That's right.
It's a really weird... And can I be honest? I don't like how it doesn't have a flash inbuilt. I know you say it comes with a flash in the box.
Yeah.
But I suspect consumers might have to pay for that.
Well, you know, sort of they've got the flash... The hot shoe is actually recessed under a cover, and I think they could have probably quite easily have put the flash in there rather than that.
Yeah, exactly. I look at it on the logic of... I know that they've sold... not so much Sony, but other camera companies told me in the past that the reason they don't include flashes is because the high ISO is just so good these days. But high ISO is only so good, and you should still include a flash. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it should have a flash.
Yeah.
But the camera, image quality is absolutely superb.
You'd switch from your Nikon?
No, I wouldn't switch from the Nikon because it's a totally
different breed of camera, but you would have that as your walk-around camera.
But this could quite easily be my walk-around camera, especially with the little 16mm pancake lens, which is just an absolute sweet lens.
Ooh, that's high praise coming from you, actually.
I know.
Because you're really harsh with your cameras.
Yeah. Video is very easy to use. Video is just a one-touch operation. And a couple of the interesting things on this is the panoramic sweep mode that you have.
Which is an interesting mode itself, which enables you to drag your camera around. A lot of cameras have this. They added two more point-and-shoots with that this week, even the 3D versions. But it enables it basically, as you swing your camera around, it takes the middle shot or middle slice of every of those images and puts together to make a really nice panoramic image view.
Yeah.
And that one also has an update for it coming, which will allow you to make... is it available now?
I believe
so,
yes.
Wow, that's early. It enables you to...
I saw a thing about it this week.
Well, it does the same mode, the panoramic mode, but
in
it makes 3D images that you can look on a 3D screen.
Yeah.
Which is cool. No one like Sony are the only company who have this.
That's right. Yeah, all in all, this is a camera I could live with and I could own, which I don't say about a lot of cameras.
No, you don't. In fact, you're pretty...
Yeah, exactly.
So you're sad to see this one go?
I will be sad. This one goes back to Sony tomorrow, and I'll be upset because it's a very nice camera to use.
It'll be a short goodbye?
It will be a short goodbye.
This is Oren Levy with A Short Goodbye. Radio 2RDJ. Hey, we got it right. It's the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark, a brother and father who... No, not a brother. A son and father who...
oh, brother, where are they?
Be happy I didn't rig up any Delta. Actually, don't be happy. I really like the Delta Blues sort of soundtrack and that sort of thing. Instead, coming up in a few minutes... I thought I included that in the actual title. Bucky Pizzarelli, John Pizzarelli, all the freaking Pizzarellis in strolling over to NOLA, gonna play some blues. Take a guess what NOLA is.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, I asked people to guess.
I'm a people.
You're not a people. You're a person.
Oh.
You would have to have multiple Garys, of which we'd all be desperately scared of.
Right.
For you to be people.
Do you have a useless gadget?
No. Do you?
No, I don't.
Oh. I have a useless gadget I'm getting in. Can I tell you about it?
Please.
I'm actually ordering this. It's one of those things that, you know how...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're getting.
Yeah, you know how the tech journos aren't normally known for buying things. We review things. People send stuff to us. This is how it works. People send us something. They say, could you review it? We go, yes! We put it in our ears, like we're doing now, or we hold it in our hands, we write our thoughts about it, and we send it back. Well, this one I'm actually buying, and I can write my thoughts on it, and I don't have to send it back. I get to keep it because I've bought it.
And you can also be very nasty when you write about it because it's yours and you don't have to worry about upsetting.
To be honest, I don't think this company would give a damn if I did that. It's called the Yashica F521. Doesn't sound like a very sexy name.
It sounds like a camera, though, being a Yashica.
It does. A Yashica who used to be known for making good cameras. Not so much a good camera this one.
So this is a Contax.
I'm No, it's probably worse than that. I'm buying...
Contacts are very good. Yeah. Contacts are high-end yashicas.
Yeah, well, I'm buying this because it's intentionally crap.
Contacts are yashica as Leica is to Panasonic.
Well, I'm buying this because it's intentionally crap.
Okay.
I mean, why I spend $120 on something I know is going to be crap? Why?
Well, you know, we know what sort of photos you turn out.
Thank you. And with that, because what it is, it's not so much a camera. It's 5 megapixel or 12 megapixel interpolated, which is all crap. It's a 5 megapixel scanner in a hand sort of size. So it's about the size of my hand, and I've got pretty small hands.
Yep.
And it enables you to fire off the shutter, and it will scan the image upwards. It's a scanner in a camera, and that interests me.
What sort of power usage would that have? Because I'd imagine...
It takes triple A's.
But how long do they last? I'd imagine that would be fairly draining on the batteries.
We'll find out, won't we?
We shall indeed.
We'll find out. It looks kind of fun. I mean, how often do you get to say, I'm carrying around a scanner with you? A lot of people in Europe who are using these things are saying that it's basically a custom, like a rare sort of camera, more or less now.
Right.
Like a retro sort of thing. It's,
yep.
We can be retrosexual. But it's one of those...
I won't ask what that means.
It means you just have sex with old things. I won't go there. Apparently, it means it's basically a street camera.
Right.
Which looks kind of fun. We'll be getting it in, hopefully, depending on shipping, next 2 weeks or so. Write a review for the website then.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
At least we didn't say it was a ferret sexual.
No. The Gadget Grill is brought to you every Sunday night here on 2RDJFM by Mr. Lee Stark.
Hello.
And myself, Gary Stark.
Hello. I'm not him.
No. And we are on air every Sunday night from 9 until 10.
In fact, if you have missed any part of the show, would like to listen to some of the other many fine shows we have. I think this is, what, the 84th this week?
I haven't been counting, but yes, yeah,
something like
there.
That, yeah. You can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
And you can find podcasts, you can find stories relating to the show today, you can find, if you just want to listen to the interview that we did, that will be there as well.
Oh, you're so well planned.
I know. Am I good or am I good?
Don't answer that. Do I have to answer that, yeah.
No. We'll be back next Sunday night at 9 o'clock with more gadgets and toys, and we'll have a chance for you next week to win a pair of Jay's earphones, earplugs.
You know, the Gadget Grill is supposed to be making food and other stuff in here. Can we get an ice cream after this?
We can get an ice cream after this because I need petrol.
Oh, all right, excellent.
Okay.
glad we got that sorted on air.
Yes. We'll be back next Sunday night at 9 here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
How much more of the song do we have left?
3 minutes 22.
Well, let's let people listen to that then, shall we?
We shall indeed. We shall see you all next Sunday night.
Have a good week, Australia. This is the Pizzarelli family with Strolling Over to Nola.
Goodbye.